Is it on? I think it's on. Yeah. This is my second time, or include last night would be third time standing here. I remember 2 years ago, we were here under the training of Ministry of the Word. It was a trial and tribulation time. Many of us still remember. Everyone had about 15 minutes, and I got a lot. So I shared. And before I came here, I called Brother Kong and said, I want to come here to retreat and to relax. Now I get this assignment. And I thought maybe 2 years ago I didn't do enough, so this is time to make up. Shall we open the Bible to Exodus chapter 30? Exodus chapter 30. We will read from verse 22 to 33. I will read and everyone will listen. Chapter 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take also yourself the finest of spices, of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250. And of cassia 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, oil and hin. And you shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and with it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the laver, and its stand. You shall also consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, and they may minister as priests to me. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people. Let's read one more verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Shall we read it again together? And hope does not disappointment, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Pay attention to the second half of this verse. God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for such a wonderful time we can come together in your Son's name. And Lord, we just come under your anointing so we can fellowship with you and with one another. And may your word be open to us and open our hearts, our ears. We can hear you and understand. May your love touch all of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When God created human beings, we are not only have this physical body. There are something else in this body which I think no computer can imitate. That's the five senses. We can feel, we can see, we can taste, we can smell. All these wonderful sensations we can experience in our body. And we just have our breaking of bread here. I think that's our Lord, the way He teaches us through touching the bread, taste it, drink it, see it, we learn. And Lord tried to tell us, remember me. Through these different sensations, we can feel about the Lord and try to remind us that how Lord has worked in us. And among these five senses, I think there is one very unique, at least I feel that way, that's the smell. This is the most beautiful time, best time come to Richmond. My thinking about Richmond is always hot and humid. Just like many of you have this impression about Seattle. Seattle equivalent to rain, right? So that's kind of a linkage our mind works. Smell can produce a very unique impression in a human being. I don't know what your experience, whether you enter a room, you smell something, and immediately trigger way, way back in your childhood, you experience something, and all the pictures some come alive. And so the smell sensation can really impress you deeply. You can never forget it. And I remember first time I came to this country, 1971. That was April. I arrived in Los Angeles. And they have a beautiful garden called Huntington Library. I don't know how many of you have been there. If you've been there, you will know in springtime, they have this rose blossom season. And the whole garden permeates with this wonderful scent of roses. So every time I smell roses, Huntington Library come to my mind. And I don't know what the flower here make you smell good. The other thing, when I go to China, in Beijing there is a place, a summer palace for the queen in the old days. If you go into that place around fall season, there's two kinds of tree there, the same family called golden some Chinese, I cannot translate. The flower is tiny bit, very small, white, pale white, or like orange color. So they will plant this tree all over that garden. And when you walk in, you will smell a very sweet scent. And just so pleasant. You know, queen must love that kind of flower, so it's nothing to look at, only smell. You know, the flower itself is not something dramatic like roses, but that smell is just wonderful, wonderful. And so every time you smell that, you will remember the whole place. Jesus used the wine and bread to remind us about Him. And I think in the Bible, here, in the chapter we just read, the Exodus 30, among all the utensils the tabernacles, the furniture, the feast. And God used two things, carry scent that we can smell to remember something. One thing we will fellowship today, and I don't think we have time to fellowship another subject, which is following that verses we just read. One is the holy anointing oil, and the second one is the incense. Those two things carry special scent, and those wonderful aroma supposed to remind us something about God. So this morning I'd like to use this time to meditate on this part of anointing oil. We all know that Bible use oil to represent Holy Spirit. We all know that. And in the New Testament, when Holy Spirit was first introduced to us, was when Jesus was baptized. And the Holy Spirit came down, fell upon him, and used a symbol, like a dove, right? So I think the dove image is the image to the people, to the public. But in Old Testament, here, Holy Spirit used different meaning or a symbol to express the meaning to all the priests who serve within the house of God. And this holy anointing oil has to be applied on all the vessels we just read, you know, the tent, the incense altar, the candlestick, showbread, ark, everything has to be anointed. And so there must be a very special meaning concerning the holy anointing oil. And the priesthood, they cannot function unless they have been anointed by this unique flavor of Holy Spirit. And so let's look at the ingredient in this oil. There are five components. First one is the flowing myrrh. The second one is the cinnamon. The third one is called cane. The fourth one is called cassia. The last one is the olive oil. Five components. The incense also composed five components. I think in the Bible always use five to represent the grace of God. And let's consider these five components quickly. First, talk about the flowing myrrh. We all remember baby Jesus' story. When Jesus was born, there were several magi came to Bethlehem and offered gift to Jesus. And the first one was gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Remember those three gifts? They present to Jesus. And then by the time Christ was crucified, and when they removed the body from the cross, there was another brother by the name of Nicodemus. He brought a lot of myrrh to spread on Jesus' body. And so we know the myrrh in the Bible always speak about the death of Christ. So this is the first ingredient of flowing myrrh trying to tell us this anointing of Holy Spirit carries the power of death of Jesus Christ. That is the beginning. And because he suffered for us, we can enjoy the anointing of Holy Spirit. And in here, also tell us that this death is strictly flow from the love of God. And in the anointing, I think no better verses can describe this anointing than the the Song of Songs. Let's read chapter Song of Songs, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 10. We want to read from verse 10 through verse 15. And I ask brother read verse 10 and sister verse 11. We take turn, read to each other. Brothers, verse 10. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than all kinds of spices. Sisters, a garden locked is my sister, my bride, a rock garden locked, a spring sealed up. Nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, along with all the fine spices. Let's read 16 verse together. Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of south. Make my garden breathe out fragrances. Let us spices be waved abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruits. Here is the expression of king to the Shulamite lady. And they use a lot of symbolic language. They use the oil. They use the spices, all kinds of fruit trees, to express there is a beautiful fragrance in the garden. And this garden represents the love between these two lovers. And that always represents the love between Christ and His church, us with our Lord. And so you will see all these spices, cinnamon, cane, cassia, all in this garden. And these are very expensive spices. So we know that none of these ingredients are cheap in those times. They brought out all the way from Egypt when they were slaves there, and they brought out everything they possess. And these plants, they can find in the North Africa, in that area. And some of these plants are hard to find nowadays. People told us, like cane is the pith of a plant. Do you know the pith? It's the heart of that tree trunk. You have to open up to go to the core, and then you take that out. That has a very unique scent. The cinnamon is the bark of the tree, and the cassia is the flower of that tree. And all these tells us a very clear picture how the scent can bring out. You either cut the tree up, or you have to cut the skin out, or you, like the myrrh, you have to, I think many of you, if you ever watch the forester, they try to collect the gum from tree or collect the maple syrup. They have to cut up very deeply and then let the juice flow out. And there is a pot to collect all these things. All tell us this is because the tree was injured and was cut deeply, and the good juice will flow out. And only Christ suffered greatly, and then we can enjoy His blessing and His grace for us. And olive oil has the same principle. 2 years ago, I was in Palestine, and we walked from Egypt all the way up to the Promised Land. And all of us. It's a long way, over 40 years. And there was a garden. They put all these biblical time tools, so you can see it. What do they mean when they talk about olive press and all these things? And concerning olive press, it's a big, big piece of rock and cut up and with a very heavy piece of a round-shaped rock go around. And on this plate, horizontal plate, you have this carved, what do you call this? Channels, yes. So whenever the heavy press rock roll over the olive, the juice, the oil will be pressed out and flow through the channels, and you collect in the bottom. So it all shows us that all these oil, because of the high pressure from the press, crushed the olive, which is plenty in that area, and that produced the oil to us. And so we know God purposely picked all these five ingredients, mixed them together to remind us the characteristics of the Spirit of God, remind us about Christ. And very symbolic. So every time in the Old Testament, the high priest or priest, when they serve, minister in the house of God, whenever they smell the scent, they will remember what God has done for His people. And pull these Old Testament pictures and come back to our New Testament time, how we experience this fact. I think the best picture for us to understand this is in the Matthew chapter 26. Let's turn to this familiar story, but I want to link these two together so you have a better understanding. Matthew 26. We'll read from verse 6 through 13. 26, verse 6 through 13. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume. She poured it out upon his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw it and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume upon my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of it in memory of her." It is a very beautiful picture. You will see this woman pour out this precious perfume on top of Jesus' head. And she is the few people can do this before the resurrection of the Lord. In other words, only she catch the best time. And the reason she can catch this best time is she has a heart of love. And understand what Jesus will go through. And she take this perfume and pour it out. And it's a very expensive perfume all over her Lord. And when she did this action, everybody else cannot appreciate. They grumble. They will say, why so waste? Why so waste? And I think Jesus immediately defend her, tell everybody else, says, no, don't bother her. She done this for me. And more than that, Jesus said, whenever you preach gospel, you have to mention what this woman did for me. So in Jesus' eye, his gospel can put this love story together as a pair. Let people see what the quality Jesus is looking for. You know, because there is the same response Jesus is looking for from human beings. The gospel is the love from God to us. And this perfume is the response from us to the Lord. And they should come together. And that's a perfect picture. Otherwise, it's one-way love. We all know one-way love is very miserable. I hope this time is the right word. You know, concerning love, I think that's the most magic word, but so misunderstood. And but it's very interesting. Every time we think about it, you know, different language has different way to express it. In English, we say fall in love, right? That's something by accident you just drop in. For Chinese, talk about love, that's the ultimate of love is marriage, right? The Chinese, when they say marriage, they put a woman and they put a faint, I mean pass out. So when a woman pass out, that's the time you get married. Because love has no reason. When you have a clear reason, then that's not love, that's reasoning. So you fall in love, it's beyond reasoning. So every time when a father looks at his daughter dating another man, they always tell me what a jerk that guy is. How in the world my daughter will date that kind of people? Bad taste. Yes, from the third party point of view, it doesn't make sense. But whoever fall in love, it's just like that, you know? So love is always beyond reason. And that's the way how God fall in love with us. If you try to reason it, there's no reason whatsoever. It does not make sense. It's a bad investment. But somehow, he fell in love with us. In the same way, God is looking for love to respond to his love. And that's why Jesus is so appreciative about this woman's offering. Right before Jesus would go to the cross, there is at least one sister who understands what the Lord is going through. And in this offering, pour out the expensive perfume. That perfume permeates the whole room. So that scent will remind all the disciples in that room what Jesus is really looking for. He said, when you preach gospel, you have to tell about this story because there is a love story behind this. And I think when God tells Israel people that these priests use these five ingredients as a symbol to tell them the anointing oil, I think with the same principle. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that's a great chapter concerning love, right? And remember verse 5, there is words that says, love does not count. Remember that? You want to open it and read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. And the following, let's read together. Does not take into account. A wrong suffered, that's added in. Okay? That's added in. The original is just does not count. Many of us probably experience the same thing. Recently, we have a young brother in our fellowship. He told me, you know, Jonathan, these days I really spend a lot of money in phone bills. I said, what do you mean by a lot of money? He said, yeah, my phone bill will go as high as $600 a month. I said, what kind of business you are running? No, I'm no business. I call make a lot of phone calls to New York. I said, to whom? Oh, my girlfriend. And he will do it voluntarily and willingly. And I remember 20-some years ago, I had a couple of friends. The lady was here. The man was in Taiwan, so they have a lot of phone calls. You know, from a parent's point of view or from anybody else who does not involve in this business of love, they will think you guys are crazy. And but when you have love, they don't count anymore, right? Just call, you know, just call. But after you get married, strangely speaking, you start counting. I don't think anyone will tolerate $600 a month phone bill. Your husband will look at you. Who do you talk to? You talk to your mom? That's too much. So from that you will see the degree of your love. You know, the deeper you love, the less you count. The more you count, don't tell me you love me. So ladies, remember that. If you want to test your boyfriend's sincerity, let him do something beyond measure. Wait a minute. when God loves us, He is so lavish, pour out His love to us. And there, if you try to count it, it's just beyond our calculation. And so we who receive the love, we should learn how to pour our love to God beyond calculation. And there was a person who did that. Let's read 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 13. Let me read from verse 12. I want to read from verse 12 to verse 15. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer of those for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controllers, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Here we see a man. He said, the love of God control us. The other translation says, constrain us. I know some other people tell us this word, the best translation should be bewitched. You know, when a person fell in love, you are bewitched. You are just totally lost control. You are really under the compulsion of love. Here, Paul said, I am controlled by that love, the love of Christ. That's why when he responds to God, he said, many times, I'm beyond myself. To God, he is really beyond himself. But he behaves himself when he is facing brothers and sisters. David was that way. When he welcomed the ark back, remember? He just jumped up and down and so joyful, praised God in front of the ark. And you know who cannot stand it? His wife. So you must be crazy. That, it is crazy. This business of love is a crazy business. Doesn't make sense. And we should have that kind of love. And when we don't have that kind of love, that is most serious thing to God. Remember the seven letters, the first letter to Ephesians. And that church is almost perfect. They labor, they keep the name of the Lord. They have done everything right, except only one thing. That's the first love. And when the Lord cannot find that quality, God says, repent. So, the adjective, first love, not necessarily means in sequence, but I think it's in the quality, the prime quality of love. So, love is something deserve our whole life to pursue, to understand. It is really the most precious thing to keep us going. In this house of God, if we lost that, nothing can work. In any service we serve people or serve Lord, that's the most important ingredient. And we can only love because he loved us first. We are touched. We are controlled. We are bewitched by God. And then we can serve with that kind of zeal. And Paul show us that kind of life. And everything he suffered, everything he going through, without love, nobody can do it. It's just beyond us can take it. But when love is in you, then it doesn't matter. All these things become less important. So, Paul is the best example in the New Testament for us to learn. And in Ephesians, now we are in Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 2, right? But in chapter 4, Paul mentioned about the building up the body. The body build up itself. And he used the word, build up itself in love. So if we have this vision of church, the central piece of God's work, that we should learn how to love God with that kind of unmeasurable, uncounting love. So I think I like to use this holy anointing oil, the scent, as a symbol this morning for us to think about it and to learn about it. There are so many rich meaning deposited in these five ingredients. And whenever it comes together, the scent should come out. And Paul explained the scent to us, scent to us. And he said, we Christians, Let's read that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read it together. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are being perished, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other the aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for this thing? So here, Paul explains the real meaning of this aroma. This aroma, actually, in the spiritual sense, is our knowledge about him. And so the more we know about him, the more we can live this life out, and this life will carry this marvelous scent. People can smell it. And this scent creates two kinds of results. To some people, it will bring out life. To some people, it will bring out death. Paul thinks about this, and he says, who is adequate to be in this ministry? So, however, through God's grace, this is given to the church, to us. So we have to appreciate this aroma. And that's God wants from us. It is anointed on every service he wants, he receives. So this is what I share this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today that you have provided for us in your Son. We can fellowship in you and enjoy the love you pour upon us so lavishly. And Lord, we appreciate and we worship you, we thank you, and we pray that we may love you in the same manner. Although, Lord, we confess that in us there is no love. But you have given us this life of love in the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to live in this reality. And we learn this lesson through our whole life. May you bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.